Well, welcome back to our Bible study, and we are coming to the end of chapter 8, and then we just have chapter 9, and chapter 10 is really short, so we only have a few parts left here to this story. But I want to thank those of you who have stuck it out through the whole thing. I really appreciate that, and hopefully that it's been helpful to you. It's given you things to be encouraged about, maybe some things to confess and repent about. And certainly many things to worship God for and to thank Him for. Because I just want to say this, take just a moment and say this, but you know, that's always the goal of Bible study. Yes, we grow knowledge, but the goal is not just to grow knowledge, but that the knowledge that we do learn about God and from His Word should always be a response of worship, or a response of confession, a response of encouragement, certainly a response of prayer. And so, you know, Bible study has to channel or has to come out of worship, and it should be, the end result should be worship. And so, you know, make sure that that's always, no matter if you're watching a video like this, or if you're just reading your own, or if you're even hearing the word preached, it should, the response should, there's, anytime we hear the word of God, it should cause us to do something. And usually that response is worship or confession or repentance. So just make sure that that's always the goal. It should never just be, okay, well, I've enjoyed that, I've grown knowledge, and then I leave. That there's nothing, you haven't applied anything. And so part of growing, discipleship, sanctification, all of that is knowledge applied. And so that doesn't mean that there's always three steps on something that you can do. Sometimes it's just, my heart has been stirred to love God more, or to know Him more, or to pursue Him more. And so sometimes it's just worship and gratitude, and that is the right response. But then there's other times where we deal with our sin, we deal with fears, we deal with the things that we chase after, our idols and stuff like that. And so so I just wanted to say, take just a minute and say that, because I don't think I've ever said that in any of these videos that we've been doing. But so if this has caused you to worship God more, to know Him and love Him more, then that's a right response here. And so hopefully that's, this walking through this Old Testament book has helped you. In a book that does not have God's name in it at all, hopefully what we have been pulling out of this has caused you to know Him and love Him more. And so I just wanted to share that real quick. I want to be a good steward of our time. So let's jump into chapter 8, the very end of chapter 8. So if you remember, we saw that now the tables have been turned. Mordecai has now been lifted up. He is now second in command. He has essentially replaced Haman. And so he was given the king's signet ring, and he wrote another edict that goes along with the original one. So whereas the Jews were going to be exterminated and killed on this certain day, now they have been given the right to respond or attack back if anybody were to attack them. And so that's how, that was the king's answer, but that's what Mordecai did, so that now the Jews cannot just be the victims, but they can actually go on the offensive if they needed to. And so that changed everything. And so now everybody is celebrating, everybody is happy. And so now we're going to see what happens to Mordecai here at the end of chapter 8. Look at verse 15. It says, then Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal robes of blue and white, with a great golden crown and a robe of fine linen and purple. And the city of Susa shouted and rejoiced. And the Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. And in every province and in every city, whatever the king's command and his edict reached, there was gladness and joy among the Jews, a feast and a holiday. And many from the peoples of the country declared themselves Jews, for fear of the Jews had fallen on them. So even this edict had been written in a way that now people were fearing the Jews. But notice that Mordecai is now in royal robes. He is in purple and fine linen, and it says the city of Susa shouted and rejoiced, and it said the Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. Notice those four things. And that then in every city, in every province, there was gladness and joy among the Jews, a feast and a holiday. Now compare that to chapter 4, when the edict first went out to have the Jews killed. Notice how it describes Mordecai then. In chapter 4, verse 1, it says, when Mordecai learned all that had been done, Mordecai tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went out into the midst of the city, and he cried out with a loud and bitter cry. He went up to the entrance of the king's gate, for no one was allowed to enter the king's gate in clothed in sackcloth. And in every province, wherever the king's command and his decree reached, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting and weeping and lamenting. And many of them lay in sackcloth and ashes. So notice the difference here. They went from sackcloth and ashes and fasting to joy and feasting and excitement and happiness and gladness, right? And so notice the difference here is because the end result changed, right? I mean, the Jews were still living, but they went from one day being, okay, we're about to be killed, to now the next day being, okay, if anybody were to come after us, we can attack them. We're no longer the victims. We are the victors. There's victory here. Because if anything happens, we can attack back. We have been given essentially the opportunity and the authority to do something about it. And so notice, just because their situation, their end result changed, they went from weeping to gladness. They went from mourning to joy. They went from fasting to feasting. Because now they ultimately knew they weren't going to be destroyed. And so there was happiness and gladness there. And even Mordecai, we see the response of him. He is joyful and he's glad. And he went from being in sackcloth and ashes to now being in fine linens and purple and the king's robes and a crown on his head and things like that. And so we can see what simply just changing their future and their end result has done for the Jews. And so what I want us to think about with this and this little portion here that we read, and again, this was a real event, but what does that mean for us, or how can we apply that in our life? Well, I think we have to think about in light of eternity, because here they thought they were going to die, and now they weren't going to die because they had been rescued essentially from death because of what Mordecai did. And so when we think about our life, do we approach life as, man, it's just only going to get worse from here. And man, it's, you know, this life, once this life is over, we don't know what's going to happen. It just never gets any better. It's all gloom and doom. And if we get so wrapped up in this life as this life being what matters, and you know, that's where our happiness is wrapped up in, that's where our productivity is wrapped up in, that's what our joy is wrapped up in, then yeah, if we only look at this life, then we don't have much to live for. But if we understand in light of eternity that this life is just the beginning of what really happens for all eternity, and really this life is just such a dot compared to eternity. If eternity is this room, this pencil mark right here on this paper, right there, which you can barely see, that's our life. If you think about this room as being eternity, that pencil mark is our life on earth, right? This life that we have right now. And so if we get wrapped up in that pencil dot right there, which you can't see now, but you saw it just a minute ago. But if we get wrapped up in that, we forget all of what matters, which is eternity. And if we understand that the Bible says that Jesus has already won the victory for us. In Colossians 2, it says that he disarmed the authorities and the principalities. When he went to the cross and died, then he purchased our redemption. He purchased our salvation. He paid for our sin. And so no longer are we living for just this life, just that dot on the piece of paper. No longer are we living for that. We're living for eternity. Like this room, if we compare the two. So do we get so focused on that little part of our life that we lose sight of this? But if we keep our eyes focused on eternity, then what happens in that little dot doesn't really matter as much. If we have a bad day, if we have some suffering, if we have some difficult times in our life. I'm not saying that it minimizes those, because I know those are real events, and I've had suffering and struggles in my life, and things has happened to me and happened to loved ones and all that, and I'm not minimizing that. But I'm saying if we get so wrapped up in that, then we lose sight of what really matters. And so here, what we can see with the Jews and their response there is how we should also apply if we are keeping focused on our ultimate victory, that because of, not because of what we've done, but because of what Jesus has done, he's won the victory. We're not defeated. The enemy's plans and plots and attacks against us, they won't ultimately work. Yeah, it might make our life a little rough right now, but God has ultimately already won the victory. We've read the end of the book, right? We know that Satan gets defeated, sin gets defeated, death will one day reign no more. And so we don't have to approach our life in sackcloth and ashes every day, in mourning and weeping. But instead, if we understand the victory that we have in Jesus and what his perfect life and death and sacrifice and resurrection has done for us, then we can approach it, this life, even the tough times, even the hard times, we can approach that with joy and gladness, because again, our eyes are focused on eternity and eternal life and the inheritance that is there, that's unfading, that's never going down, that's never going away, that God has waiting and he's holding for us. And so we don't have to live this life as defeated victims, but rather we can live as victors. But it's not us that wins the victory, it's Jesus who has already won it for us. And so that changes the way that we approach our life. And so even though we can still have struggles, even though we can still have bad days and things like that, we don't have to let those things defeat us. And we don't have to let those things get the victory in our life. We can mourn, but still mourn with hope. We can weep, but still have joy of the Lord in our hearts, because we know what's yet to come. That's why Paul says, you know, that we don't get so wrapped up in the temporary, the transient. He said the struggles that we have today that are temporary, they give weight to an eternal weight of glory. And so Paul understood that even the struggles that he had, and he had struggles that many of us will never ever have, but he said, you know what, I don't get wrapped up in that. I look forward to the eternal weight of glory that's to come. And so I hope that this will encourage you that, you know, unfortunately I can't tell you that you'll never have struggles, you'll never have tough times, you'll never have tragedies. I wish that were the case, but it's not. But when those times come, we don't have to get stuck in mourning and sadness and weeping, but rather we can struggle through those things with gladness and with hope and with joy, because we know ultimately that God is in control, that he's won the victory, and his promises to us are true. If this life ends, we'll just be with him for all eternity. And I know that means we'll leave people behind, but if they know Christ, then they'll be reunited with us. If they don't know Christ, then we need to go back and watch the previous two videos, and we need to pray for them, and we need to share the gospel with them so they can be there with us. But we should always remember that we are operating as victors, not victims. And the victory was only won by Christ, not us, but by him. And so just as God turned things around for the Jews, that's what he does when he takes us from death to life. When we were dead in our sin, but when we hear the gospel and we respond, now we are clothed in Christ's righteousness. So we don't have a physical crown and physical royal robes and things like that, but we have been seated with him, Paul says in Ephesians 2, we have been seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Positionally, we are already there with him. And that only happens. Notice Mordecai didn't do anything. It was the king giving him the signet ring that promoted him. Same with us. We don't do anything. It's Jesus's death and burial and resurrection, death, sacrifice, burial, and resurrection that purchased that for us. And so we didn't do anything to earn his righteousness, but Christ gave himself. And so by faith, God gives us that. And so we can be just like Mordecai, and we can celebrate that now we are going to be with the Father. We are going to be with the King forever. And so he's no longer worried about being the victim because he knows he's on the winning side. And brothers and sisters, that's where we operate from. We should live every day knowing we're on the winning side. And no matter what happens, we know who wins. And if you know Christ, we know that we'll be with him for eternity. So I hope that that encourages you today. Maybe if you struggle with that, maybe it's really easy, especially in 2020, to get defeated, to get discouraged. But I hope today that you're reminded of just what Christ has done for you, what he has purchased from you, for you, and that you can walk in that truth and know that you're the victor and not the victim. And so even if you're struggling, man, I'm praying for you today. But know that you can still have the hope and the joy of the Lord, even in those tough times, because our eyes are focused on eternity, not that one little dot right there. So I hope that helps you. I hope that gives you something to pray about and certainly something to thank God and worship him for today. So God bless you. Hope you have a great rest of your day and week. And we will see you next week as we begin to wrap up this Bible study. God bless you.